Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Stevie Ray Vaughan.
I love you, baby. I'm
He's yours
just
today.
What to do.
What's going on over there?
Orange Police. I love their Twitter feed. It's fantastic.
Oh, what happened?
They've decided they're going to do a poem for the winter weather.
Aww.
When the road is glazed like a Muncher's bakery knot, it's not a mirage from being too hot. The roads through Lawrence are paved with ice. Jan's Prius won't look too nice when your suburbitank smashes into it, not once, but thrice. Please slow down and take it slow. Don't give the ambulance somewhere to go. And if you tweet us about basketball, well, you're a K-State fan after all, and pride cometh before the fall.
Wow.
It was pretty good.
That's not bad.
You know Jan and her Prius doesn't appreciate it, though.
No, she does not.
Jan.
Not bad.
Your Prius.
Did you hear that Disney's earnings fell sharply compared to the first quarter a year ago?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
To what do we attribute that?
That's funny you mention. They do have a reason why Disney's earnings fell so sharply.
Kara, any guesses?
No.
I'm going to say it's because they didn't have a Toy Story come out last year.
They didn't have this come out.
Duh.
Says here, missing from theaters last holiday season was a Star Wars movie. Disney has not or has released a film from the franchise every December since 2015. 2018 was the lone exception.
That'll do it.
Mm-hmm. Because in December of 2017, they released The Last Jedi, which made $1.3 billion worldwide. Now, they did have Mary Poppins Returns, but that only made $325 million, not $1.3 billion like Star Wars.
Yeah, because Mary Poppins and Star Wars are totally the same thing.
Mary Poppins. Did anyone see that in this room? Anyone?
No.
No, I didn't either. Did Dana ever see Star Wars, or is she still Star Wars?
No, she's never going to do it.
At this point, it's like a... It's point of contention for her. Like, she just won't because she said she wouldn't.
Yeah.
She's never seen a single Star Wars.
Dude, I bought her Star Wars and she re-gifted it.
Gave it to somebody else.
That is the ultimate.
Never even took it out of the wrapping.
Nope.
F you. Oh, my. Well, you know, you guys know that I've never seen The Wizard of Oz and I live in Kansas.
You're not missing anything.
Okay, that's good.
I like that movie.
It's a you good would. Movie, but it's also, you know, not
wait, what is that
in the theaters at the moment.
You would.
Well, it came out way before 1989, so it's right up your alley.
It's the actually, I've never seen any movie that was made prior to 1977 except Clockwork Orange and The Wizard of Oz. Those are the only two movies I've ever seen that came out before 1977.
And you refuse to listen to records made after 1989. And they'll stay by an artist who was already established before 1989.
Okay. Yeah, because I do listen to, like, Van Halen records made after 1989.
There is one exemption to that, though.
Who?
One Direction.
He does love his One Direction.
You do love your One Direction. Ooh, play that fabulous dance song that I wanted Scott to hear so badly.
Stop. Oh. Okay. Now, first
did you recognize this song?
Well, of course I recognize that
Kara,
song.
Did you recognize it?
Hang on. Don't tell her. Let's play here for a second.
Keep playing it, Rodney. It's a huge hit. Well, I love it. I did it just so Scott's head would explode.
That is sacrilege right there. I mean, that is just awful. No.
Scott is actually turning green. You can't see it.
Because, Kara, this is how it originally sounded.
Okay.
Rod, give me my audio, please, if you. Don't be afraid. You can turn it up.
I don't hear any difference.
I like Mackie's version better.
Okay, who does the Technotronic version of this?
The Party. It's a party from The Party.
Wow.
I just want you to know that I was obsessed with that song, and then I realized someone said, oh, that's a remake of a Dokken song. And I was like, oh, the next time I'm on the radio, I will unveil that for meteorologist Scott Parks.
That's terrible.
I don't hear any
guitars. I don't hear nothing.
From the text line, both versions sound like some cheesy songs from an 80s movie montage.
Montage. Montage. Is that Taylor Dane? No, it is not. Man. It is The Party.
Let me hear just a little bit more of The Party's version there, Rodney. Hearing none.
The Party.
Hang on. Let me pull it. Here we go.
I want to say this came out in like the early 90s. I could be wrong.
I don't remember this.
In my dreams, it's still the same. Your love is strong. It's still
the same. Hit me with the beat.
Okay. Here's how the intro really sounded back in the 80s.
In my dreams, it's still the same. Your love is strong, it still remains.
I don't know much difference.
Oh my God.
It's the exact same harmonies, just by a girl group.
The Party?
The Party.
Never even heard of it.
They were a one-hit wonder.
Somebody else's did.
Okay. That wasn't their hit. I don't know what was, but it wasn't that.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, when I went in there, I was so filled with glee because Rodney was in a mood earlier, and I was like, this will cheer you up, and it did. So it brought him a small amount of joy.
Awful.
It did.
Did you hear about the guy in New Orleans who died right before the Super Bowl?
No.
He's a former police officer. His obit read, Henry Jaume. J-A-U-M-E. Henry Jaume Sr., age 65, passed away on Sunday, February 3rd, 2019 at 1 p.m., less than 5 hours before kickoff. He was, it states, determined not to watch Super Bowl 53.
Success.
Goal achieved.
He has been embraced by the entire city of New Orleans. One person writing underneath the obit, rest in petty, good sir.
Hmm. Rest in petty.
I love it.
He was determined not to watch Super Bowl 53, so he died 4 hours before it started.
Did we all watch that or not watch it? Where are we with the Super Bowl
people? And this broad. Kurt Cobain's daughter, Frances Bean, is opening up about her relationship with money and how she feels guilt over inheriting her father's fortune. Frances Bean Cobain, who is 26, who is also the daughter of singer Courtney Love, said on RuPaul's podcast that her relationship with money is different because she didn't earn it. Quote, so it's almost like this big giant loan that I'll never get rid of. Okay, calm down, sweetheart. And it's almost like I have this foreign relationship to it, or like a guilt, because it feels like money from somebody that I've never met, let alone earned myself. By the way, her residuals are $100,000 a month.
From Kurt Cobain's...
Uh-huh. And she still has the $15 million in other inherited assets. Well, if you feel so guilty about it, you can send it to me.
Mm-hmm.
I will gladly spend your father's money.
She has openly discussed the fact that she does not like her father. She didn't really know him, never met him. He died before she was old enough to remember.
She was one when he died. Yeah.
And, you know, from the things she's read and the things she's seen, she's like, that's a junkie. I don't like that guy.
Coming from a recovering alcoholic and drug user herself.
Right. And her mother is like,
she's practically Mother Teresa.
She is a piece of work.
Huh. Strangely, she posted her thoughts on her Instagram from Oahu.
Oh.
Bless her heart.
Guess she doesn't feel that guilty.
Ooh, this margarita tastes good. Oh, but man, I feel guilty drinking it.
You know.
Garcon!
Cabana boy! Where's the cabana boy?
I feel guilt for accepting this money. But I'm going to tell you about my guilt from my vacation in Oahu. Yeah.
I ordered these nachos with no jalapenos.
Barstool!
There's clearly jalapenos on these nachos.
Clearly.
I'm going to need to speak to your manager.
I'm just shocked that...
I said gluten-free.
I'm just shocked that Kurt Cobain's library makes $100,000.
No, right? One song makes $100,000 in residuals a month.
One song. Oh, good Lord. Well... then the other two boys are raking it in as well.
Well, I'm sure they are. But think about, because residuals only go to the writer. So I don't know who wrote Smells Like Teen Spirit. It may have been, if it's only Cobain, he gets all the money.
Hmm.
It doesn't go to the producer and anybody who played on it. It goes to the writer. Whoever wrote the song gets the money.
Now I'm curious. I'm going to go back and look.
Like, if you hear a Blake Shelton song on the radio, Blake Shelton doesn't get any money for that. He makes his money off of you buying the song that you heard on the radio. But when you hear it on the radio, the money goes to whoever, name your ghostwriter in Nashville, who wrote whatever Blake Shelton song you just heard on the radio. He doesn't make a dime.
Hmm. No wonder Dolly Parton is so rich.
Yeah, because she wrote her own stuff. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Huh.
Michael Mackey from In Kansas City Magazine joining us. He'll be back tomorrow at 4 o'clock as well. Mark Alford sitting in that chair tomorrow from 2 to 4. Talking about the brand new set on the Fox 4 newscast. That'll be exciting.
Tell him I think the lighting on him is flattering.
You can tell him yourself when you get here.
Oh, yeah, he'll still be here. Yeah, but tomorrow he won't look as flattering because we're under these harsh fluorescent lights right now that make us all look old and
that's true.
Anemic.
Rod Babcock, I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ. This is awesome!
For a while in four, on a winter's day, on a winter's day, when I'm
either do it better or do it different.
That's a little different.
This was also my suggestion to make up for the dance remix of Dawkins in My Dreams.
Who is this?
Mower.
Mower? Like a lawnmower?
Yes.
That's awesome.
That is pretty awesome.
That's great.
Thank you, text line. The text line suggested that we play that.
Oh, that was fantastic. Just a brief foray into politics. For months, writes Chris Saliza at CNN, Elizabeth Warren has struggled to get from under the muddled and occasionally contradictory story that she is told about her own belief in her Native American heritage and whether she ever either claimed that background on documents or received any sort of advantage from it. But on Tuesday, Warren's claims took a major hit. The Washington Post reported on a Texas bar registration card from 1986 in which clearly and apparently in her own hand, the Massachusetts Democrat had written American Indian when asked to identify her race. Neither Warren nor her office denied either the authenticity of the document nor that it was a senator's signature on it. Quoting here, Warren telling the Post in an interview, "I can't go back. but I am sorry for furthering confusion on tribal sovereignty and tribal citizenship and harm that resulted.
Okay. So she's saying, as even as far back as 30 years ago, she's claiming to be American Indian?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what I'm
No, she clearly wrote under ethnicity or race or whatever it was, American Indian.
In her handwriting. Okay.
Yes, yes. Okay. And she even took that horribly stupid DNA test that found that she was like, I think I have more African blood in me than she has Native American blood in her. And I'm 0.3%.
I am 1% South Asian.
I mean, that would be akin to me putting black on some sort of...
Who is that white woman who said she was black and then got so...
Rachel Dolezal.
Oh, so she got so busted. So busted.
Well, she feels black. So therefore, she is black. Wait.
Last I heard, she was now Hawaiian.
Oh, is she feeling Hawaiian now?
I have no idea. I just made that up.
Sometimes I'm a strong black woman, but not all the time.
I mean, give me a break. What a moron. Anyway.
Rachel, what's her name?
Dolezal.
I need to look her up and find out what happened to her. What happened to Rachel Dolezal? What is she doing? Where's she been?
I think she was writing a book.
Oh, good. I got to get my hands on that. Mm-hmm. That'll be a fascinating read.
Of course
read.
She's writing a book. You know how much that irritates me? The Jersey Shore people, like, all wrote books. Those people can't read. They didn't write books. They're full of crap. I hate that. The things in this country that should be punishable behavior, people are now being rewarded for. Like this Rachel Dolezal. I'm going to write a book. Everybody's good. I'm going to make a bunch of money. You know what? Fall off a cliff, please.
But then she would write a book about that. She fell off a cliff.
Man, Rod.
It just bugs me.
You're having a bad day, aren't you?
But you can't tell me that people on the Jersey Shore even know how to read above a third grade level.
Trust me, I'm sure they had ample multiple ghostwriters helping them.
You're not yourself when you haven't had a Snickers.
Somebody showed up and said, here, you wrote this book. Sign your name.
Rodney, when I'm back in tomorrow at 4 o'clock, what can I bring you to ensure that you have a good day? Do you want a Snickers
Do you have
bar?
Time to drive to Colorado?
Okay, well, okay. Newsroom, Caremark, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Road crews prepping for another round of freezing rain tonight. More next.
By the way, just got word, my kid's school district has already canceled for tomorrow.
They're dropping like flies, people.
Rod, $100 says Roman doesn't have school tomorrow.
Well... I doubt it. They didn't have school today. I doubt they'll have school tomorrow.
Oh, they didn't have school today?
They didn't have school today?
Nope. No, they canceled about 10:30 last night.
Oh, really?
They called school because of icy conditions.
Really? Oh.
And, you know, it's one thing when your kid's out of school, but it's when your wife and your kid's out of school. Now I have stuff to do. Thanks.
Yeah, because your wife's a teacher.
Yeah, yeah. If it's just a kid, he'll just sit in the corner and watch his iPad.
Right.
Not to bother with it.
Right, yeah. I mean, you don't have to father or anything like that.
No.
You don't have to do anything daddy-like.
No, that would be foolish. But yeah, when Tabitha's home, now all of a sudden I have things to do.
You have a honey-do list. Honey, do this. Honey, do that.
Sure, let's call it that.
Is that when you say at like 9 in the morning, oh, dang it, Scott needs me to come into work for some reason.
Oh, I gotta go in early.
And then you go over to Weir's house, chug beers.
No, I just sit in the car.
You... Rodney, I live like
in the garage with the door down
from the station. You can always come over and not drink beer at my house. Actually, where does Weir live? Does he live close too?
No, he's out south.
In God's country?
I don't know whose country that is, but it ain't God's.
It's not ours.
This guy's on, his name's Colin Campbell. I'm just finding this incredible. Rod, maybe you and I just didn't, maybe we grew up in the right places. This guy named Colin Campbell, who is apparently a reporter down in Raleigh, North Carolina, writes, randomly flipping through the 1979 UNC Chapel Hill yearbook today just to kill some time. and found this photo on one of the fraternity pages. Holy blank word I can't say on the radio. This was in the 1979 UNC Chapel Hill yearbook. It is a photograph. I'll describe it briefly.
Ah.
Of two people, I'm assuming fraternity brothers, who are dressed in KKK
sheets. They're dressed like ghosts. It's Halloween.
That's right. And
with pointy hats.
There is a rope dangling that they both have their hands on, and it goes over a chandelier in what looks like a living room or a dining room at the fraternity house. And on the other end of that rope is a noose wrapped around the neck of a fellow, presumably fellow fraternity brother, who is wearing a plaid shirt, blue jeans, some sort of like a fishing hat, and is in blackface. Where the hell was I when everybody was putting on I have never in my life put on blackface. I have never seen someone around me in, of course, I've seen photographs of people in blackface. I've never been around someone wearing blackface. Have you?
The only thing that really sticks out in my mind is that for a super hot minute back in like 91 or 92, Ted Danson from Cheers, he dated Whoopi Goldberg.
Back in the 90s, and, early 90s.
Right. And I want to say there was a roast of Whoopi Goldberg, and Ted Danson walked on stage in full-on blackface.
And he was skewered for
it. Skewered. And that was back in 1991. We have grown so far as a nation and community since then, but I was just like, that was the first time that I really paid attention to it, and that was like back in college, and I was like, what is happening?
Let me see where it is. I'm on the Ted Danson's.
I want to say that was the beginning of the end of their relationship. At the time, I think Whoopi, to save face, no pun intended, I think she laughed it off.
Okay, here it is. Danson experienced substantial negative press on October 8th, 1993,
I was close.
After his appearance in blackface at a Friars Club comedy roast in honor of Whoopi Goldberg. In his monologue, Danson made extensive use of offensive racial stereotypes, used the N-word more than a dozen times, and ate a watermelon, angering such guests as Montel Williams and Mayor David Dinkins. Whoopi Goldberg, defended the sketch, explaining that she had helped write much of the material and referred Danson to the makeup artist who painted his face. Danson and Whoopi Goldberg issued statements emphasizing the Friars Club tradition of raucous and over-the-top humor and describing those offended as newcomers.
Can you imagine that was, what, 25?
They broke up, by the way, a month later.
Right. So that was 25-plus years ago. Can you imagine if somebody pulled a stunt like that today at the Friars Club?
It'd be the end of their career.
It would be the end of the end of times for them. I mean, look at Michael Richards when he went off on that super racist tangent and when he started yelling at a comedy club. He started yelling the N-word just at a group of people that were, he said...
You talking about Michael Richards?
Michael from Seinfeld.
Michael Richards.
Yeah. Am I making this up?
No, you're not making that up. And I remember that well.
He's
never appeared on TV again.
Never.
Now, in fairness,
repercussions.
Seinfeld people. Episodes air constantly in syndication. Mm-hmm. I assume that he receives money from that. He probably doesn't ever have to work. You know, the Friends cast still makes $20 million a year. Just on the residuals from that show. However, think about other people who have done, I'm trying to think of an example that's not like
what?
Sex related with,
okay, wait,
like Bill Cosby and stuff, but.
Why isn't the Dukes of Hazzard on anymore?
Because they have the Confederate flag on top of the General Lee.
Yeah, but there wasn't any that takes it to a new extreme.
True.
As far as I'm concerned.
But why? All right. Well, now, wait a minute. So Michael Richards is at a comedy club and he screams the N-word God knows how many awful times. He has never appeared on television again, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
Ted Danson goes to the Friars Club, whatever that is, dressed in blackface, says the N-word, according to that story, more than a dozen times, and has had multiple sitcoms.
Oh, yeah, he went on to, what was the, he went on to CSI. He's on
Three Men and a Baby.
He's on The Good Place right now.
So what's the difference?
Oh, yeah, somebody brings up Mel Gibson. Yeah.
There's a great point.
That's a perfect example.
Anti-Semitic comments made after he got pulled over by a police officer.
Oh, what about that movie Soul Man with C. Thomas Howell from the text line?
What about it?
Well, what did C. Thomas Howell ever do after that?
Well, he wasn't that big of a deal to begin with, was he?
Hmm.
Or am I wrong?
Yeah, Roseanne, she's been given the boot. She's been blacklisted for the rest of eternity.
True. All right, 576-7798. If you guys want to weigh in, 576-7798. Somebody says Michael Richards did appear on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Scott, I'm with Rod. The flag on the General Lee is the rebel flag. Nobody's arguing that. And Rod just got back in the room.
Whatever it is, I didn't do it, man. I had to pee, that's all.
Pee on your own time, Rodney. That's why I'm wearing my June Allison bladder pants right now. In fact, I'm going right now.
Rod, have you ever been somewhere where somebody was in blackface?
No.
I can't think of any time I've ever seen somebody in blackface.
Ted Danson.
No. Where you're actually in the room.
No.
Yeah, we were just talking about Ted Danson and that incident in October of 93. I did not realize he, during his sketch, used the N-word a dozen times.
I didn't know it. I didn't know that either.
I had no idea.
It's just, okay.
It was supposed to be funny because he was dating Whoopi Goldberg at the time.
Okay, so the reporter that you were talking about from South Carolina, was anyone who did...
North Carolina.
North Carolina. Did we ever discover who was in, who were in these photos?
Well, apparently nobody of significance that we're aware of.
Oh.
But I think he goes by at Raleigh Reporter on Twitter if you want to look at the picture.
So is that the thing now? You just sit around looking through old yearbooks?
And try and find scathing material?
Yeah, just going through. I have yearbooks of when I was in school. I've never looked at them one time. Like, I don't understand why. I was arguing with my wife the other day. Why are we buying a yearbook? He's never going to look at it again.
I still look at my yearbooks and remember when I was cool.
Yeah, but you also do it in your underwear and Letterman jacket, and it's weird.
That's the weird part.
I also wear my old football jersey.
Yeah.
Oh, under my Letterman jacket.
Yeah.
I look back on mine. I miss my Flock of Seagulls haircut that I used to have. Ugh, I used to rock that.
576-7798. Rod Babcock, Michael Mackey from In Kansas City Magazine. I am Scott Parks on KMBZ.
A faded sign at the side of the road that says 15 miles to the
Love Shack, yeah. I'm heading down the Atlanta.
Remember the time you went to her house?
That was the best day of my life. Ever!
He's been to the house of one of the B-52s or something.
Cindy Wilson, the one who goes, T-Roof! Rusted. I won a contest to spend the day with Cindy Wilson. Best day of my life. Last April 20th, 420. Very appropriate.
That's really cool.
Best day of my life.
Do you think she, I'm being serious, do you think she enjoyed it or?
Oh, yeah. Because I was cool. I wasn't like stalker fanish.
Lie.
No, okay, it's probably more than you need to know, but right before she showed up, I had my friend smack me across the face.
Calm me down.
I did. I was like, I can't breathe. You need to smack me. And so he did. And then she walked up. She's like, hi, I'm Cindy. And I was like, hi, I'm Michael. It's nice to meet you. Well, actually, she was more like, hi, I'm Cindy. It's so nice to meet you. Like that. And then literally, I'm sure I had a red mark on my face like a crazy person.
So you and your friend got to hang out with her?
Yeah, you could bring a friend. So I brought my friend from Atlanta and we went to Athens, Georgia. That was the best day of my entire life. Nothing will ever top that, I don't think. Because you know I'm obsessed with the B-52s.
And she was cool?
She was beyond cool.
What did you guys do?
We spent the entire day like.
Did you talk to her about nothing but the B-52s?
No, I talked to her about lots of things.
Okay.
It was a random smattering of things.
Imagine, Scott, if you won a contest and you got to fly to New York and spend the day hanging out with Ace Frehley.
Ace Frehley.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's what it was like for him.
You would poop yourself a little. It took me a good half hour to simmer down. The smack really helped considerably. But when she drove by in her little tic-tac of a car, and I saw her, and I started hyperventilating because I was like, there she is. Oh, my God. Because, you know, if you have an idol and you're about to meet them, not only meet them, but spend the entire day with them, you want to be cool about it.
Who would make you hyperventilate, Rod, if you could hang out with them?
Other than Dolly Parton.
Doesn't have to be a musician. Like an actor or something? Rod, are you even paying attention to the words coming out of my mouth?
No, did you say my name?
Who would you hyperventilate if you got to hang out with them?
Oh, man. Probably anyone from Kiss or something like that.
Doesn't have to be a musician. Could be an actor or something like that, too.
Like Dolly.
That would be pretty cool. Christina Hendricks.
From Mad Men?
I just want to sit and stare at her.
Who the hell is Christina Hendricks?
Look her up.
She's pretty good. Rebecca?
Yes.
Darling, who would make your heart go pitter-pat?
Okay, I can't think of anybody who would really, where I'd really get
Adam
starstruck.
Levine.
Well, yeah, up until the Super Bowl, probably. Nah, I'm a little disappointed now.
Oh, you are? You didn't like that he took his clothes off?
Okay, that wasn't that bad, but his performance was terrible. If Elvis Presley was still alive today.
No. They have to be alive. Christina Hendricks has red hair, Rod.
Yeah, and she's a little top heavy.
Oh, a little top heavy is like saying the Pope is a little Catholic.
He's a little Catholic.
He's a little Catholic.
You and these redheads, man. Yeah, she was on Mad Men for like 8 years. Sorry, go ahead.
I would like to meet Steve Carell.
From The Office?
Yeah.
That would make you like, oh my God.
Yeah,
oh my God.
Yeah, because he's, yeah, I really like that guy. I wouldn't know what to say.
He would make you Twitter page.
Isn't it weird that she says Steve Carell, you go straight to The Office, and I went straight to Anchorman.
Oh.
Yeah, somebody on the office.
Somebody on the text line has a good point. If Paul McCartney, if I had to go, got a chance to
hang out
with Paul McCartney.
The time you and I went to that Paul McCartney
I don't know that
concert,
I would make it.
Dude, lost your mind the second he came out on stage.
Yeah, I was amazed that they allowed me to be in the same arena with him.
Yeah, so was I after your behavior.
He's Paul McCartney.
Did you cry?
No.
I did a little.
Yes, and then he kept screaming at me, oh my God, oh my God, we're in the same room as a Beatle. Like, all night.
I was fine until Let It Be. And then, yeah,
yeah
I got a little tear in the eye and lump in the throat.
All right, we got to run. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in all of America, the great Rod Babcock, my good friend and co-host from In Kansas City Magazine, Michael Mackey, ladies and gentlemen.
Bye-bye.
I am Scott Parks. Have a great night. Be safe. Drive safely.
Be safe.
And be good.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.